I think everyone should be in therapy. I think the government should issue you a therapist from the age of like 6. It's something I knew I would have to do eventually. It was just kind of a matter of waiting for the right time.
I'm Leslie Cohen Ruberry, and this is My Child a Monster? A parenting therapy podcast where you get to listen in as real parents and caregivers share their trials and tribulations in therapy sessions recorded live. I'm a parent and a therapist with 38 years of experience helping families navigate this question. And no, your child is not a monster. Today, we're not doing therapy. We're talking about therapy, why you might seek it for yourself or your child, how to find a therapist, and some of the questions you might have along the way. I've invited parenting columnist and podcaster Jamila Lemieux to join me today to talk it through. We first met last year when I was on Slate's Care and Feeding podcast, then called Mom and Dad Are Fighting, which she co-hosts. Jamila is a writer, a cultural critic, and an editor. She has worked for Ebony, Cassius Magazine, and Radio One. And she is a big advocate for therapy and often talks about her own experience and about her decision to send her 10-year-old daughter, Naima, to therapy as well. I'm so excited she's with me, so let's get started. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We meet up again, and I'm excited to meet up again.
Me too.
So on your podcast, I heard you often recommend therapy to some of the listeners and even talked about therapy with your own daughter. So was there a moment that made you realize that you wanted therapy for your daughter or your daughter needed therapy?
Yes, it was around 2021. She was 8. The pandemic, you know, was going on. And we'd also moved in 2019 from New York to California.
Okay.
So this big moment of transition, and then the world shuts down not very long after. So she was just getting adjusted to being here. You know, her first birthday party out here was canceled because of the pandemic. So we were having some challenges, you know, we were having some moments where she wasn't quite listening and I felt like she needed to talk to someone. You know, I think everyone should be in therapy. I think the government should issue you a therapist from the age of like 6. But it's something I knew I would have to do eventually. It was just kind of a matter of waiting for the right time.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, what your daughter was going through are big changes. And we are so relational, meaning we just like to be connected to people. And it's just a wonderful idea to have someone to talk to. So what were some of the behaviors that she was showing?
Well, you know, she was being defiant.
Okay.
Which is a little bit different than just not listening. She was just straight up like, no, not going to happen. Not going to do what you're saying, you know, and talking back. And I thought that was unlike her.
Okay. So bingo, right there, when we see something that's unlike our children, it should put up our radar, right? Like
yeah.
It should go on our radar of, wait a minute, this is not typical. So she was a bit defiant. And even if it is typical, doesn't mean we don't go to therapy for those reasons. But she was a bit defiant and you were concerned, talking back, saying no a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find a therapist? How did that go?
Yeah, I used a website called therapyforblackgirls.com.
Yep.
That lists therapists for black girls and women. And it's a really expansive database of therapists. There are a lot of them. The other place that I would have checked was Psychology Today's website. They've got such a great resource there. And this woman had been written about in the LA Times for doing therapy with dolls with little black girls. And my daughter is a big doll person. And so I thought she would just be a wonderful fit.
Wow. I love the way you look for something that was really a good fit because the fit is so important in therapy. What was that conversation like when you tried to tell her it's time to go to therapy?
Well, she knew what a therapist was.
Okay.
She knew that I saw one.
Oh.
And that her father had seen one. So there'd been some talk with her about therapy anyway. So she knew what it was, you know, and that she was going to be talking to somebody, and she was a really nice lady, you know, and just a good person for you to talk about some of the things that maybe you don't feel comfortable talking to mommy and daddy about, you know, some of your feelings, some of the moments we have where we're not getting along, somebody who can listen to you about those things.
Right, right. Yes, I often hear parents say that my child doesn't talk to me, so they want to offer the child to have a therapist. I do love the idea that there are many, many people out there who can hear us without actually even putting us down. Like, does she talk to you as well?
She does.
So she talks to you and she can have a therapist who is there for her as well, right?
Right.
So was it hard to find a therapist?
No, just compare with the experience I had with finding my therapist. Well, actually, to be fair, I didn't have a hard time finding my therapist. I looked and looked, and then my psychiatrist recommended somebody. And she was I gave him a few criteria, and he found the perfect person.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was very, very blessed this time around, because my other experiences with therapy were not so great. But no, it really didn't take me very long to find Naima's therapist. You know, I was super surprised, and she responded right away. She was available. You know, they started meeting on Zoom at first.
That's a blessing, like you said, that you were able to find a good fit for yourself and also a good fit for Naima. Now, the thing is, that is not what I am hearing a lot. So I get calls constantly for helping people find a therapist. So many people struggle. My heart broke just recently when someone said, I've called 17 therapists. I don't think that's always so unusual that you end up calling, right? And trying.
Yeah.
A lot of people. So you did not have the experience where you felt discouraged along the way, did you?
No, I didn't. You know, I did make a bunch of calls. I probably called about 10 offices, you know, before I was like, well, let me ask my psychiatrist. But I know that feeling. And I've had that experience with trying to find other providers and trying to help other people find therapists. So I totally get it.
Right. I mean, word of mouth is a great way also of trying to find a therapist.
Yeah.
So in terms of that discouraging feeling, what do you tell people?
You just got to keep looking. You know, the right therapist is out there. You just have to find them, especially now that you can access therapy online, you know,
yes.
So you don't have to be in the same place with your provider. There are so many excellent providers out there. You just have to keep looking.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to talk about finding that right fit. You said, it was so interesting, you said that when you spoke to your psychiatrist, you had a few questions and you had some criteria. That's great. That is really great. And I know one thing that attracted you to Naima's therapist was that she played with dolls. Let's come up with some ideas for, you know, some of the listeners to actually what helps us find the right fit for the child, because I think that's very confusing since there is a broad range, very broad range of the therapies that are out there, the modalities that are out there, and the kinds of therapists.
Absolutely. I think one thing to think about is gender. I think that's really important. You know, some children are just not going to feel as comfortable opening up. You know, a lot of little girls don't feel comfortable opening up to men. My daughter's told me herself, you know, at one point she told me the men made her uncomfortable, which was something we had to work through. But I think gender is really important. I think age is important. Some people would feel more comfortable talking to an older provider, whereas some folks may do better with somebody who's a bit younger.
Yeah. Okay. Those are two great criteria. And we also want to maybe understand someone's orientation so that do you get the sense that someone may be LGBTQ affirming,
yes,
neurodiversity affirming? You know, we want to understand a person's orientation. And their ability to respect differences in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you started going to her therapist, did you check in with her about the fit? So at what point did you get the sense, okay, this is a good fit? Because one is just looking for someone, but then she's actually got to get in there and see how it feels.
Yeah, well, after every session, I would ask her, like, did you have a good time? Did you enjoy yourself? Do you like her? Do you want to do this again?
So did you ever get, no, I don't want to do it again, or no, I don't like it?
No, they really hit it off so well from the very beginning. And that's not to say there haven't been times where she didn't want to go. You know, there may be a day where she's emotional about something and she just doesn't feel like talking about her feelings, you know. But aside from that, she looks forward to seeing her. She wants to play games with her.
Yes, yes. Okay, so you just brought up two really good points that she may be enjoying herself, but not every session is about enjoyment, right? Sometimes, you know, we're going, it can feel a little uncomfortable. I've had many children in therapy. There are certain children that when they tell, let's say they're talking about something that doesn't feel good, like a situation that was upsetting to them, and they go there and they're trying to talk about it, it could be that that's very uncomfortable because it feels like for some children, they're reliving it. But it can be very, very uncomfortable for some children to go to therapy and talk about it. That's the therapist's problem. So I'm going to put that on the therapist. The therapist needs to work with the child. We know research is, you know, just across the board, every study, and I am going to say every study because I don't think there's been very much disagreement. Every study shows that the most important part of therapy in order to make it work is the relationship, is first and foremost, right? I think you've expressed that the therapist and the relationship is so important. And with children, if we're asking them to be uncomfortable and talk about things and open up and be vulnerable, then we certainly want to create that foundation. And so you were talking about that she did some play therapy. You know, I used games all the time. I find playing games or reading books or doing things like that, I get to learn a lot about a child. Let me ask you if you have any questions from the parent's perspective to the therapist, since I'm sitting here as the therapist. Do you have any questions for me about sending your child to therapy or what you're looking for?
Yeah, as a parent, what sort of information do you need from us going into therapy to get started, aside from just kind of like commenting on what's happening that made you want to get a therapist?
Okay. So yes, I want to make sure when I have an intake with someone that I'm finding out what are the behaviors, what is the parent seeking, is the child on board or not? I'd like to know if the child has expressed interest in wanting to go to therapy. That's a separate question. But I also want to let the parent know who I am so that I make it very clear that it's very important that it's a good fit. So I do think that that's important. And I'm going to want to understand what is the therapy that's going to fit the child's behavior. So if we're talking about a child who, let's say, has an autistic brain, an ADHD presentation, or the defiance, I want to find therapy that is evidence-based therapy for that child. I want to know from the parent if my expertise is going to match the child. And so I'm going to ask questions about what is the presenting problem and how is the child, you know, their learning style and other questions like that, so that I get the feel for who this child is and will the therapy work. So I really want to listen to the parent and hear what they're asking for. Sometimes, which is very much my orientation, I'm also a family therapist, I see working with the whole system. Sometimes after working with the child or right in the beginning, I might say, hey, it's my recommendation that we go with some family therapy, or that I'd like to work with the parents, depending on the age of the child. Have you ever worked with a therapist who helps you understand your child?
Yeah. I feel the Naima's therapist does a good job at communicating with me, you know, about the things they talk about and what I need to know from their conversations. And we also have a family therapist who we see with her father, who's been helpful in that regard as well.
So the three of you meet together.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's, as you're describing, there's so many, there's individual therapy for you, for your daughter. There's a family systems approach. There's a parenting approach where, or a parent consultation model or a parent coaching model where we're really trying to help parents in whatever modality is going to feel like it works for them.
Yeah.
So in terms of what information is helpful for me when you come asking for therapy, it is about the behaviors, the child. I'm going to ask about interactions. I'm going to ask about things, you know, her sleep patterns, her eating, just some things in general that so I can get a whole picture of who your child is. Not just, we don't want to just understand what are the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We want to work with seeing the child as a whole person. And many therapists want to come with a strength-based perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the strengths of the child?
Yeah.
So how long has Naima been in therapy?
This will be her third year.
Okay. Do you have goals? Does your therapist set goals in therapy?
She doesn't, no. Well, yes. I want her to be more communicative with you. I want her to, you know, come up with some better coping mechanisms for when she's upset. We do have some goals.
Great. It sounds like your daughter feels connected and feels like she's getting something out of it. Is that true? Because I don't think she'd keep going if she did.
Yes.
Okay. And have you seen the changes that you were hoping for, the changes in the defiant behavior, in a little bit more communication, as you said, or regulating some of the behaviors? Have you seen some of those things as well?
I have.
That's so cool. I'd love to know what you would say to a parent who's considering taking their child to a therapist. Maybe they're nervous or think it's, you know, it means something they've done wrong. How do we pitch that to parents? Oftentimes, kids say, have I done something wrong? The parents, maybe they feel like a failure. So how do we put a different perspective to that?
Well, I think just letting them know that therapy is very common. You know, all types of people go to therapy. A lot of people you know and respect go to therapy. I mean, if there's anyone in the public eye you can admire, they go to therapy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you are certainly setting that example. It sounds like her dad is setting that example of making therapy to be a strength, not to be a weakness, right?
Absolutely.
Let's think if there's any other ideas that we can have for what parents would say when their child is scared, for helping the parent get the child to therapy, even though they may not be interested or they think they don't want it, right? We've got kids who say, no, I don't want to go to therapy. I'm not broken. I'm not, there's nothing wrong with me. It's your problem, Mom.
Yeah, well, just, you know, therapy doesn't mean that there's a problem with you or that you've done something. Just good to have someone to talk to about your feelings and experiences, you know, and it's good to have somebody outside of your parents to talk about those things at times, too.
Yeah, I think that idea that talking to someone else for some people sounds great and some people it's for them it sounds scary. Sometimes for children who really are saying no, 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 I might say, okay, you need to give it a try. You need to do 3 sessions. And if at the end of 3 sessions you say no, we'll stop therapy. I might also say, sometimes it's you're saying no because you've had a bad experience. So I would want to find out from that child what has not worked for you in the past. What has worked for you in the past? When you want to talk to someone, what works for you? When you have a problem, what works for you? So I think the idea of tuning into the child of what kind of person would they like to talk to. And this sort of brings us back to the beginning. You know, what's going to work for the child? I mean, I've had kids say to me, therapists always tell me what to do, but they don't help me understand. Or they tell me what I'm doing wrong, but they don't give me any strategies that work. So, I mean, when I hear a child say that, I'm like, okay, if you do therapy with me, we're gonna see what we can do so we don't fall, you know, go down that same road. I don't want to be that therapist who, you know, says didn't work. I want you to come in and tell me. And that's one more point that I want to make. children and adults should have a voice in therapy. If it's not working, if your therapist doesn't want feedback, run. If your therapist gets defensive, oh no, I make sure your child does this, or I make sure you want to run. A therapist's job is to get feedback of what's working and what's not working. So for the parent to be able to give feedback, for the child to be able to give feedback, I think that's also really important. All right. Do you have any questions that you might want to share or ask me about as being a therapist and going to therapy?
What's your greatest challenge with getting through to kids?
I do want kids to see that our weaknesses are not a problem. They're not a fault. I want children to see that the places that we struggle are opportunities for our growth. And so I really want to make sure I'm getting through to kids that they can learn to grow and that they get to feel accomplished, that that's an accomplishment. So I want kids to look at themselves. Yeah, it's really not broken, which is so funny because, of course, the name of my podcast is My Child a Monster? I'm not labeling kids as monsters because, no, you're not a monster. You know, you may not be understood. So I think the hard thing is having patience as a therapist while we're helping children make changes. And that's the same message I want to give to kids. It's going to take time. They want either changes to happen right away or they get impatient. So, you know, when they say a skill doesn't work, I train the kids that I work with and I say, I'm going to have you try this. I give a lot of homework to kids and I would say, you're going to try it and it's not going to work, but you're going to come back next week and tell me if you did it. If you did it, that's success. So I get kids to use a skill and to define using a skill as success. And then after 3 months of using a skill, then we can expect it to start helping. Some skills work immediately and some skills take time. So really getting through to kids about therapy takes time, therapy takes work, and stay committed, but make sure it's working for you. Don't stay in therapy if it's not working. Like, really make sure you're learning something and you're getting something out of it. Really want people to understand that that relationship is important and that I know, you know, you can see that working for, it sounds like, for you, for your daughter, for your family.
Yeah.
And one more thing I want to ask is where can people find you?
I'm on every social platform at Jamila Lemieux, and you can listen to the Care and Feeding podcast via Slate, anywhere you stream podcasts, and read the Care and Feeding parenting column at slate.com.
Great. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So as you know, I'm a therapist. I've been a therapist for nearly 40 years, and as strange as it sounds, I don't think all kids need therapy. I do think all parents need to understand their children, because that's your job as a parent, to raise your children so they know themselves. And my goal as a podcaster and a therapist is to help parents to do just that. Changing what you do as parents may be enough to address the problem behaviors you're experiencing. And if it's not, therapy is here to help. I want to thank Jamila Lemieux for sharing her insights with me. You can find links to her work and everything we talked about in the show notes. I also added other resources about different kinds of therapy modalities, what good therapy looks like, and places to start looking for a therapist who might be a good match for you or your child. Join us next week for our first session with Molly and Alistair. They have two young children who are dealing with some tough sibling dynamics. Subscribe to Is My Child a Monster wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review it. You can find a full transcript of this episode and you can sign up for my newsletter at ismychildamonster.com. The Is My Child a Monster team is Alita Cooper, AJ Moultrie, Camila Salazar, and me. Special thanks to Eric Ruberry. Our theme music is by L. Ray Music. I'm Leslie Cohen Ruberry. Thanks so much for listening. And this week, take the time to learn about therapy so you can recognize a good fit.